this morning. All right, go with me to the book of Genesis chapter 2. Book of Genesis chapter 2. Y'all glad you saved me in church? Praise the Lord. I hope you are. Can't think of no better place to be than in the house of the Lord on the Lord's day. I wouldn't want to be on the lake. I'd rather be right where I am this morning than on the lake. I'd rather be right where I am this morning than at the beach or at Dollywood. Amen. I'm glad I'm in the house of the Lord today. What a good place this is to be. One more time, let me say, visitors, thank you for being here with us today. I hope all the singing's been a blessing, and we're just country people that's been saved by the grace of God and love of the Lord for all that He's done. And we hope that that's come through to you through the singing this morning. But thank you for being here. Now's what we call preaching time. And Lord, help us. We'll pin our ears back. We'll drop our tie here in a minute. We'll go to preaching. Amen. Alrighty, stand with me. Good to see everybody here this morning. You could have been anywhere else, any other church in town, but you're here. Some of y'all members, you come every week and hear this old young hacking preacher spit about five rows back, and we're so thankful for, amen, for you being here this morning. Amen. The first three or four, maybe five rows is called the spit pit in the middle here. And if you don't want to be spat on, don't sit down close. Amen. Tony Hutchins said, if it hits you, don't wipe it off. He said, let it dry. He said, it'll flake off down the road. Amen. All right, Genesis chapter number 2. Amen. Amen. Are y'all really glad you're here? Man, I hope you are. I hope you're more glad about it than some of y'all's face looks this morning. Genesis chapter 2. I need you to pray for me if you can pray. And pray the Lord to touch me. I need a physical touch here. And I want us to get something from the Word of God. This is Homecoming Sunday. And if the Lord will help me, I want to preach about the church, to the church, about the church, and give you some thoughts here this morning. Notice with me in verse number 4 as we begin our reading. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Let me just pause here for a minute, and I'll probably say it again in a minute further, but we believe that God made everything that is. We don't believe in evolution. We don't even believe in theistic evolution. We believe God said it, and it was so, just like God commanded it to be. Out of nothing, God spoke everything, amen and amen. And we don't believe that men come from monkeys. We don't believe that with some prebiotic soup out there in a mud hole somewhere that turned into a tadpole, that turned into a frog, that jumped out, became a monkey, and eventually became a man. We don't believe that. Amen. You're crippled too hard for crutches if you believe in that kind of nonsense. We believe that God reached down in the dust of the ground and formed man, breathed into his nostrils, and out of that man became a living soul. You say, well, Professor so-and-so said, amen, I'm about ready to cut loose and preach right here. I can't help what Professor so-and-so said. I think I believe the one that was there when it all happened. And so by faith, we believe that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. I have no problem believing in that this morning. I have no issue this morning in believing God's account, according to the Scripture, of how things came into being. Now notice with me in verse number 8. The Bible said, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant
to the sad and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence he was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first was Passion, that is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. There is bdellium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon, the same as it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And you say, preacher, what in the world are you going to preach on the church out of Genesis chapter number 2? You hang with me and we'll get where we want to go in just a minute. That's my famous statement. You stay with me and we're going somewhere. Father, we love you this morning. I want to thank you first and foremost, Lord, for the grace of God that saved my soul. Lord, I'm not what I once was. I'm not headed where I was once headed because of the good grace of God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that was taught on in Sunday school this morning, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God that we have the privilege to hold in our hand and read in our hearing this morning. I pray that you'd bless it. Thank you, Lord, for the Church of God and all you've done these years. Lord, even here at Calvary, Lord, the sinners that have been saved, the families that have been kept together, the lives that have been touched, and Lord, the saints of God that have been encouraged, Lord, everything you've ever done, seen or unseen, we want to thank you, Lord, for 53 years of blessings and touching this place. And God, we bless your name for it. And now, Father, Lord, I pray for the next few moments that you'd help us. Lord, as we preach the Word of God, I'm begging you this morning, would you please empower us with the Spirit of God? Lord, may we preach today in demonstration of Spirit and of power, and may men receive the Word of God, Lord, as it is the Word of God, not the Word of man. Help us, Lord, to be clear in communicating the thoughts and the truths that you've laid on our heart. And Lord, may we ever as a church strive to be what you'd have us to be. And Lord, we'll thank you for all you do in this service and in services to come. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. As we come this passage of Scripture, we certainly understand at Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, enlighten the human race on the origin of all things. As we've already said, we deny any teaching of evolution, any teaching even of theistic evolution. And we believe that in 6 days God said, and there was, and God rested on the seventh. We believe that God made man on the sixth day, and all that is accounted for in Genesis and in chapter number 1. And when you come to Genesis in chapter number 2, here's what you find, is that in beginning in verse number 4 down through verse number 7, God backs up and he enlightens you and I on what took place on that sixth day as it relates to the creation of the human race, the creation of mankind. The Bible said that in verse 6, that there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And then that statement that is all important, and man became a living soul. And we learn from this passage of Scripture that God reached down into the dirt and God brought dust together, and that mist had come up, and God made man out of the dust and out of the dirt and out of the mud. God formed it, and my friend, all he was a form. All he was a lump of clay. All he was an old dirt ball sitting there in the earth until God reached down and breathed into his nostrils that most important breath of life, and man, my friend, became a living soul. I want to say right here in that statement, and it bears saying this morning, I'm not necessarily preaching on it, I don't want to say this morning, in that there is a good tape and a picture and an illustration of the grace of God that it saves man. We know in Genesis 3, man sinned and man dies spiritually toward God. And my friend, the Bible said in Ephesians 2, and you at the quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3, he said, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And he goes on in John 3 to give Nicodemus truths about the importance of the new birth. That is, that man is born physically, my friend, in this earth through his mother. My friend, he's born very much physically alive, breathing God's air. God lets his heart beat. Spiritually, he is dead to God. Thank God, somewhere in life, the Holy Ghost begins to move in that lost sinner's heart, and it's headed to hell, and is dead in trespasses and in sin. And somewhere along the way, that man submits the Spirit of God, and God reaches down and quickens him in salvation and breathes it into him spiritually. Amen. I'm glad for the day, Brother Dean, that the Holy Ghost came by my way when I was nothing but an old dead dirtball sinner headed and deserving for hell. And Brother Scotty, the Holy Ghost came by and let me experience a new birth. And my friend, very much this morning, I am alive. Amen. Both physically and spiritually. One of these days, physically, if the Lord tarries his coming, the saints of God will go to the graveyard. We'll go by way of the funeral hall. And my friend, we'll check out of this life. The Bible said, the Apostle Paul said, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And while they'll roll our carcass down the church aisle, and they'll preach our funeral, and they'll bury us 6 feet under, Brother Dean, we will be very much alive with eternal life, everlasting life, amen, in the presence of God, all because of the day and God reached down and breathed the spiritual life, amen, and man becomes alive again to God. Now this morning I'm interested in Genesis 2, bear all that I've said in that, and I'll mention something. We're going to come back to that truth in a minute. And the Bible said in verse number 8, and the Lord God planned, and let me say this for a minute, amen, I'm glad that God is in the business and is interested in making me alive unto God. I'm glad he holds quickening power, amen, by the Holy Ghost and the new birth and the grace of God. And when a man repents of his sin, believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, that God is willing that my friend, that man, woman, boy, and girl should be saved. Amen. I'm glad that what Peter said, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is interested in every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every teenager coming to that place where God, amen, in salvation can make them alive. Amen. One of the Bible doctrine words is this, regeneration. That is, amen, a birth, a new birth, a new life has got to come to pass. Amen. Ain't God, the day you got saved, you just passed from what? From death unto life. Amen. Not by the power of good works, not in you getting baptized, not in you becoming religious, but by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Men pass from death unto life. And I'm glad that's still happening. In 2014, God can still reach down and save sinners. Now, the Bible said in verse number 8, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Now this morning, Genesis 2:8 tells us the home for man was found in what we know to be the Garden of Eden. And when you study the Garden of Eden, it's referenced several times in the Scripture. Amen. The Garden of Eden, you'll find, is referenced in other passages of Scripture as the Garden of God or the Garden of the Lord, if you will. Amen. Let me run some verses with you for just a moment. Hold your place here. And I promise you, we're going to try to preach in a minute. I'm still waiting for God to touch me. Somebody help me pray now. In Genesis 13, look there with me if you will. And the Bible says here in verse number 10, you know the story of Abraham and Lot, how the herdsmen of Lot and Abraham were striving together, and they have now come to a crossroad. Abraham said, we can't dwell together anymore. And so you choose what direction you're going to go, and I'll go the opposite way. The Bible said in verse 10, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Listen, even as the Garden of the Lord. Even as the Garden of the Lord. Know that phrase, if you will. Amen. The Holy Ghost said, Lot lift up his eyes. He seen them well watered plains. And the Holy Ghost said that what Lot saw that day was as it were the Garden of the Lord. Go with me, the Old Testament book of Isaiah, and in chapter number 51. Isaiah in chapter number 51, if you're with me, say amen. Amen. Hang with me. We're going somewhere. The Bible said in verse number 3, Isaiah 51, 3, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and He will make her wilderness like, notice this, will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the Garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Notice with me that God said the day has come yet, and though Zion be, amen, laid desolate through captivity and the judgment of God, and God is going to raise her back up. And when God gets that, He said her wilderness is going to be like Eden, and her desolate places, her desolate wilderness, amen, wilderness is going to be like Eden, and her desert like the Garden of the Lord. According to this passage, we understand at Genesis 13:10, the Garden of the Lord, and Isaiah 51:3, amen, wilderness like Eden, and her desert and her wilderness like desert like the Garden of the Lord, that Eden is referenced as the Garden of the Lord. And Ezekiel in chapter number 28, go there with me if you will. Ezekiel 28, please hang with me, don't let me lose you now. Ezekiel 28, and notice with me in verse number 13, the Bible said, thou, and I don't have time to deal with all the context of this. I want you to get something. The Bible said, thou hast seen in Eden the Garden of God. Thou hast been in Eden, the Garden of God. If you will, look with me in Ezekiel, flip over a few pages in chapter 31. In chapter 31, notice with me verse 8 and verse 9. The Bible said, the cedars in the Garden of God could not hide him. The fir trees were not like his boughs. Chestnut trees were not like his branches. Nor any tree in the Garden of God was like unto him in his beauty. I've made him fair out of the multitude of his branches, so that all the trees of Eden that were in the Garden of God envied him. Are you getting it? A Garden of Eden through the Scripture is called the Garden of the Lord. The Garden of God. It was a special place that God, my friend, raised up that man could dwell in and man could live in. And my friend, listen, it wasn't Adam's garden. It wasn't man's garden. It was the Garden of Eden, known as the Garden of the Lord. If you'll go to the book of Song of Solomon, don't turn there. But in chapter number 5 and in verse number 1, you'll find that the beloved likens his bread unto that of a garden. And so I want to use the garden of all gardens, the garden of God, and use it as a type and a picture of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm preaching this morning on this thought, and I'll never get to it. I got about 12 hours of preaching notes and about 20 minutes worth of preaching in my heart. And so I want to preach for just a little while, amen, until I pass out on the garden of God. The garden of God. I'm glad that God has a place, amen, in this earth that is special. Amen, of all the places that God made. Listen, amen, God made the earth, amen, in 6 days. He spoke the dry land into existence. And my friend, give us land and give us the sun and stars and the moon. And God caused the grass to grow and the tree to grow. And God caused the fish to swim in the stream. And He made every creeping thing and every fowl of the air. My friend, and in what God made in Genesis 1, and we come to Genesis 2, the Bible said, and my friend, of all the lovely places, of all the sights you can behold, of all the things a man could enjoy in God's creation, there was one that stood out, my friend, in the earth, and it was known as the Garden of God. And I say this morning, I'm glad of all the places I've ever enjoyed in this earth, all the places in God has let me go, I've been jailed and have a good time. And I say there's one that outshines them all. There's, my friend, a place in the church of the living God. And my friend, I love to dwell in that. I love to walk through in that. I love to take in. I'm glad today that God has a church, amen, in this world and in this place. That's why I ask you oftentimes, are you glad that you're here? Amen. You say, why do you say that? Because this ain't the Masonic Lodge. This ain't the Mickey Mouse Club. This, my friend, ain't some club or organization. Amen. It's a place that God has made for His children to dwell in an ungodly and wicked world. I'm glad the garden of God, amen, the garden of the Lord in the local church, Brother Danny is still there, that men can go with and enjoy the blessing of the garden of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, amen, I got about, amen, 5 things wrote down, and I got about 2 more in my head. Amen, the main points I want to give you. Amen, I'll probably just give you one this morning. Somebody say amen. And then we're going to go eat a chicken leg. Amen. Number one, I want to say something this morning about this garden of the Lord, the local church using the Garden of Eden as a picture of the church. Notice with me, according to verse number 8, amen, the planting of the garden of God. The planting of the garden of God. And notice with me what the Bible said again in verse number 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. Again in verse number 15, the Bible said, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And this morning I want to deal with the planting of the garden of God. Notice with me the representation in the planting of the garden of God. The Bible said, and the Lord God planted a garden. I'm interested in the word planted. The Bible is clear that God is the one that raised it up. It's wasn't Adam that went out and sowed some seed. It wasn't Adam that brought about this Garden of Eden. Brother Tony, the Bible said, and the Lord God planted this garden. Can I just pause and say this morning that the church today is of a sovereign orchestration. Amen. Listen, we don't believe today that the Pope started the church. We don't believe today that this is Brother Jeff's church. This is not what I've started, and it ain't what Doc Wells started, and it ain't what your daddy and your grandpa and your grandma started. Amen. We believe that God is the one that, amen, that has raised up the garden of God, even in this wicked day. Amen. I'm glad it ain't up to me, and I'm glad that it ain't up, my friend, of the wicked, sinful human flesh, of what we're in today and how we've gathered in. And I know the church is not a building. I know today the church is more than brick and stone and mortar and carpet and padded pews and chandeliers. Somebody say amen. Amen. If this thing burned down, had this building burned down last night, we'd have still gathered in at 845 West Highway 2570, and we'd have still had church. Somebody say amen. If we'd had to raise a tent up, we still have a place that you and I can go to church. This is not the orchestration of man. The Bible said, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. Let me say this morning. The word planted is an interesting word. It's interesting in that of all the words that the Holy Ghost could have put in, He chose to use the word planted. Now notice this with me. The word planted here literally means to strike, to fix, or to fasten. In other words, there was something struck that day. There was something fastened that day. There was something when God said, I'm going to make a place. I've done for man. I took him an old lifeless lump of dirt and mud and clay, and I've given him life. I've got to give him somewhere to go. And God reached out, and God struck something in the ground. Other than God fastened something in the ground, God fixed something in the ground. And my friend, from what God struck that day came forth the garden of God. And I say that sounds a lot to me like Calvary and what the Lord has done. Amen. In raising a church in these days. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, that we can gather together as the church and the body of Christ this morning. Amen. Not because we turn a new leaf. And not, listen, we're not here today based on man's creed and human philosophy. Thank God we're here today because 2,000 years ago God the Sovereign reached down and struck in this earth an old rugged cross and had fastened to it and fixed to it, a Son of God that would drain every drop of blood, amen, in giving His life, that there might be a church, my friend, presented. The garden of God is not here. I don't care what the Catholics say, and I'm not trying to be hateful this morning, but our generation's so messed up on their doctrine and what they believe. Friend, do you understand Ephesians 5 said, amen, that Christ Jesus, and listen, we know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God had a love for the world, and at Calvary, Christ was dead. Friend, for the world, He was dead. Amen. For those that lived in this world, amen. God loved the world and He gave His only Son, and at Calvary, amen, Christ was dying for the world. According to Romans, I believe it's chapter number 5, but Jared, amen, we know that Christ was dying for sinners. Amen. He not only was dying for the world, but at Calvary, Christ was dead. Amen. For you as an individual. Amen. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I'm glad today in Calvary, amen, God looked out over the masses of humanity and a world system plunged into sin and headed for hell, and He died that day for the world. But I'm glad in the masses of humanity He seen a 17-year-old preacher's kid, amen, I mean rebellious in his heart, one eye on the world, and one foot in the house of God, and my friend, He looked down, and I believe this with all my heart, according to Romans 5, and had I been the only one, amen, out of all that world that He died for, amen, He still would have went to Calvary, because He was dying for sinners, individually. Amen. I grew up, man, I'm feeling pretty good right now. I'm about to preach 12 hours. But Joe, hey man, I'm glad I grew up, hey man, around this kind of atmosphere. All I've ever known is old time Holy Ghost religion. Are you listening? All I've ever known is old time singing, shouting, praying, preaching, running and out. All I've ever known. Hey man, you say I don't like the kind of preaching you're doing. You're scaring me. You're turning purple. And I think you're going to pass out. Listen, it's just how it comes out. I can't help it, amen. Brother Allen, I'm not trying to act this way. It's just how it comes out. And this is all I've ever known. It's all I've ever been around. Amen. That old time lift up your voice like a trumpet. Amen. That kind of preaching's all I've ever known. And from a little boy I heard and was told and preached to and even believed that Christ died for the world. That an old happy day it was when the Holy Ghost came back and I realized he didn't just die for the world, but he died for me. Yeah, that's why the choir sings that old song. When he was on the cross, I was on his main way, because Calvary represents that place where Christ died for sinners. Hallelujah. Well, to take recess and throw a pew through the window, it calls Christ dead for our sins. He died that day for the world. He died that day for sinners. But according to your King James Bible and Ephesians 5, the Bible said in Christ, love the church. In fact, let me back up and say it right. It said, husbands, love your wives. I ain't got time to preach there, but husbands ought to love their wives. Yeah. Amen. And it said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And I say today, Christ loves the church. You look around, you say, man, I don't like this and I don't like that. Amen. Well, can I say, we're not really worried about what you lack and don't lack. And we want to be right and we don't want to be offensive. We're not trying to be offensive, but there are things about the church that are offensive. Amen. If you've never been saved, you'll be offended. My friend, listen, I'm not so much worried about, amen, if folk lack us, I know that the Lord loves us. Christ loved the church. I worry about this crowd who my friend claim they don't need the church. It's crowd that won't ever come to church. It's crowd in Newport that we knock on their door and they say, yeah, I'm saved, with a Budweiser in their hand. And if I've heard it once, I've heard it more than a dozen times in our own town, in the buckle of the Bible Belt. Yeah, I'm saved, but I don't go to church. Well, pray tell me how you gonna get around. Amen. Not loving something that the Bible said. And Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Calvary, he was dead. He was being stricken and fastened and fixed to an old rugged cross for the world. He was being slain that day and bled out. Amen. For sinners. Brother Tony, in that Ephesians 5, we learned that Christ also had an eye on his bread. Amen. Friend looked on down. That's why. Amen. That's why over there in Hebrews 12, the Bible said, amen, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. What was the joy set before him? Well, he knew that at Calvary he was punishing a foe. Thank God the devil was going to be defeated. That day, I'm having a hard time getting off this. Amen. He is a punishing a foe. I'm glad. And Calvary, amen, dealt with the old prince of this world. He was a punishing a foe. Can I say this morning, he was also purchasing a bread. Amen. He loved the church, and he gave himself for it. I'm glad today. And my friend, listen, we're here today because Christ gave himself for the church. God reached down on Golgotha's hill right outside the city limits of Jerusalem. Thank God, God reached down. Now, you look at it and you'll think that it was the Roman soldiers that done it. My friend, it was all in the sovereign plan of God. God reached down in that old rugged cross. And my friend, he thrust that thing down there and raised up his head. And thank God, the blood and the water that come out of him, man. Amen, bought a bread. It bought a church. It bought, my friend, what we know today. Amen, as the garden of the Lord. Thank God we can come in here today because there was a planning of the church of Almighty God. Smitten and stricken and afflicted so you and I could have this. Somebody says Calvary is what it is because of Doc Wells. Oh no, friend. Somebody said, boy, they got a good young preacher down there. That church is something. Oh no. Oh no, they say, boy, that choir sings good. That church is really something. Oh no, friend. Amen. What did the Apostle Paul say? God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Why? Because Paul realized it didn't matter how good he could preach. It didn't matter how far he could go. It didn't matter what he'd accomplished. At the end of the day, we owe everything we are to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. How am I doing? This is a good homecoming message. Thank God today, Brother Scotty, for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, I get sick in an hour movement and in an hour day. The people that think they've arrived and think they have, they're self-made men and women in religion, my friend. And I remind you, were it not for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, were it not for the Lord reaching down and planting, my friend, a cross in this earth, there would be no church. There wouldn't be no garden. There wouldn't be no spiritual garden of God. You wouldn't be here, but thank God he came into the world. Amen. To give his life a ransom for many. My friend, that world that he loved and gave himself for. But then he reaches out and says, I died for Dean individually. And if the whole human race would have denied, I gave my life for the world. But if Dean would have been the only one to accept what I've done, I died for Dean. Thank God he died for the church at Dean. Would have a place where he could fit in after God had given him life. The representation in the planning. Notice the responsibility in the planning. Lord, help me to just stay right now. Notice with me that God planted it. But notice with me the responsibility. I'm interested today. The first place that God took Adam after he formed him, after he put his touch on him, the first place, Brother Will, that he took him after he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, he didn't take him to Niagara Falls. He didn't take him after him to the Grand Canyon. He didn't even take him to the hills of Tennessee to look at the Smoky Mountains. He didn't take him to Flagstaff, Arizona and say, what do you think about that? Amen. The Bible said, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And the Bible said, and he put the man that he had formed in that garden. Amen. I'm glad the first place God has taken old sinner that he's given life to. Amen. It won't be down to Dollywood. It won't be down to the Moose Lodge and the Masonic Temple. Oh no, friend. He'll plant him and place him in the garden of God. Amen. This crowd said, well, I ain't got to go to church to be saved. Well, hey, we all know that, but I believe you get saved, you'll go to church. How you going to get around? How you going to get around? Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And you claim to have, amen, the saving grace of God. Amen, have the same one living on the inside of you that loved the church that he gave himself for it and you not even show up. I know I'm preaching the choir. You showed up. Amen. I feel like, amen, I'll not even be preaching this, but we got a generation in 2014 that better get back to understanding when God saves a man, God's got a place called the local church that he's supposed to belong to. Amen. I don't belong in the Masonic temple. Amen. Well, I got one woman, about three or four men that said amen right there. I don't belong to that. I ain't even a part of the Mickey Mouse Club. Somebody say amen. M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E. Amen. I ain't a part of that. Amen. I'm not a part of no elite organization in this world, in our country. My name's never been fleshed up on the lights at Broadway. Amen. Listen, I ain't even got a star out there on the sidewalk in Hollywood. But thank God I know my name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And God saved me one day by His grace. Amen. And all these years since I've been saved in this ungodly... Listen, I like to go to Dollywood. I like to go out on Douglas Lake. I love... Amen. Somebody better say amen right here. Amen. I love go sit in the deer stand. Amen. Early in the morning and late in the evening. There's nowhere I'd rather be in all this world, and in all that God has given man to enjoy. There's no greater place to be than the church of the living God. Stands out. When God saves a man, He puts him in church. Amen. He don't save him and then leave him in his lazy boy to watch David Jeremiah. I'm not preaching against David Jeremiah. I'm preaching against sitting in a lazy boy in your own home and not going to the house of God. If you're physically able, you ought to go to a local assembly. Whoa, hallelujah. Acts chapter, I'm trying to get off this. I'm preaching in the overflow right now, Brother Tony. Acts chapter number 2, Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and he preached to that crowd in the power of the Holy Ghost, and they said, what do we got to do to be saved? He said, repent. Amen. Repent. Get saved. Turn from your sin. And the Bible said that crowd believed and they repented. And the Bible said that they were baptized and there was added unto them about 3,000 souls. Got added. Amen. Somebody said church started at Pentecost. No, it didn't. You can't add something to something already got started. Amen. Something just started. You don't add nothing to it. Amen. Thank God the Lord Jesus, our friend at Calvary, that church, my friend, was birthed. He began to organize it in his earthly ministry. My friend, when he cried and gave up the ghost, thank God the church had ground to stand on. And God planted, my friend, a church in this world, and He expects that crowd that repents and gets saved to be added to it. Amen. You say, well, we're all the body of Christ. Now, that Acts chapter number 2, amen, listen, they got saved, and then they got baptized, and then they got added. Amen. I'm not trying to be too technical this morning, Brother Gerald. I just believe that God's got a special place. When God saves a man, He'll put him in that church, and He'll give him spiritual leaders. We don't believe in no popery today. We believe in the spiritual priesthood of every believer. Amen. You can go to God, talk to God. Listen, we believe this morning that there is a spiritual priesthood that every child of God has the very moment they get saved. But we believe God give this generation, even in 2014, the garden of God in the local church, and He could get in, and my friend, grow by the doctrines that are declared and the word that is preached. And my friend, listen, it's like, amen, this morning we're walking through, and we're just, amen, walking through the garden of God, the church today, and God's letting us take a little fruit out of His word and feast on it. And God is letting you and I, amen, feel the breath and glory blowing through the garden of God to give rest to our soul. I'm glad that there's a haven in an ungodly world in the place of the local New Testament church. God planted it, and then God said, listen, Adam, I'm going to put you here. I brought it into being, but here's your responsibility. Two things. Dress it and keep it. Adam, I started it. I'll give you everything that it needs. Adam, your responsibility in the planting of the garden of God is twofold. You dress it and you keep it. When I say God will save a man, put him in a church and give him a responsibility. Not unlike that he gave Adam in Genesis 2. Our job and your job as a member of the Calvary Baptist Tabernacle after 53 years of ministry is still to dress it and to keep it. The word dress it means to work, labor, to serve in. Amen. He didn't save you and put you in Calvary Baptist Tabernacle to sit on your butt. You say that's blunt and plain. Well, you understand it. God didn't save you to sit around and milk your chin and talk about what all needs to be done. Boy, there's a bunch of people, a bunch of chin milkers. I think we ought to do this, and I think we ought to do that, and I think this needs to be done. Amen. God bless you. God didn't save you and put you in Calvary Baptist Church and give you the gift of chin milking. Those who complain the most and have the most to say oftentimes do the least. God saved you and put you in this church so you could serve and labor for God through the local ministry. You say, well, I volunteer down at the soup kitchen. Well, that's a good thing, but God didn't save you to go volunteer at the soup kitchen. And I ain't preaching against doing that. We'll all go do it. Let's all just load up right now and go do it. You can serve at the soup kitchen. If you don't serve at the house of God, you ain't right with the Lord. Boy, this is going south quick. God saved us and put us in a church and said, I raised it, I planted it, I'm the one that originated. Now, Dean, you dress it. Get busy, get involved, find something to do. Beg the preacher till he just gives you a job to do. Whoa, hallelujah. Dress it. Then he said, keep it. I'm about done, dear brother, I promise. I'm going to end right here. The word keep it literally means to guard. To protect it. Now, I don't know what all was involved in that garden of God. You're still pre-fall and pre-curse. I don't know what all there was, but God said it's your job to keep it. I don't know what he had to keep it from, but he said you better keep it. He may have been talking about that old devil that's going to show up in the next chapter. Amen. I'll say more about that later on, but let me say this. It's our job, Betty, to keep it. Not just to serve and dress it, but Brother William, it's our job to keep it. Don't let the devil get in.
Amen. Yes.
Don't let the old devil get in and sneak in the garden of God and mess it all up. Man, I'm getting about three services ahead of myself right here, but amen, your job as a member of this church is to make sure you keep what God has raised up. It ain't your job to straighten everything out. Amen. Boy, this is not a Sunday morning message, is it? Let me tell you something. It ain't your job. Go fix the preacher and fix Jerry and fix the choir and fix this and fix that. Your job's keep your mouth shut and guard and protect what God has raised up. Amen. I like what Pastor said back in Revival. Said it's amazing those think they know all about Pastor and ain't even Pastor the Rabbit Patch. It's amazing. If you got it all nailed down, it just blows my mind. God never called you to do it.
Amen.
Whoa, hallelujah. Well, visitors, I'm sorry about all this. I wish some of you church members say amen so I didn't feel all alone up here. Keep it. Guard it. We're living in a liberal generation that's letting everything into the church. Old time standards are falling away. Old time worship's going out the window. Amen. We've gone to a more liberal contemporary route in 2014. But God's command is still right and it's still true. And we have a job to keep what God has given us. Amen. You say, I tell you what we need. We need a disco ball and fog and legs and drummers and loud guitar players. Hey, friend, I'm going to stand and keep and guard against everything that even looks liberal. Amen. Amen. You might as well take a lap around this place. We ain't going liberal. Amen. Can I just say this morning that you got a young preacher, but that don't mean we're going a new age way. Amen. You'll vote me out or you'll wait till I die to go some liberal route. Amen. We're going to keep the standard high and guard and protect what God has raised up. Amen. We live in a... Can I preach a minute? I've done got in it. I've done stepped in it up to my neck. I might as well just go on. Amen. I'm so sick and tired of these limp-wristed noodle back. Amen. Pink lace on their drawers, preachers. It won't stand for anything. Amen. Won't keep in guard that sacred old time way. I'm not trying to be hateful today. Amen. Friend, listen, it is the church of God. It ain't my church. Amen. It ain't your church. It ain't your church. It ain't your church. It's His church. And He said, you guard and you keep it the way I give it to you. Amen. Lord, and I ain't preached much. I've done it on purpose. Amen. I told you I wasn't going to do meetings till I'd been here a year, and it's coming up on a year in October, but I've gone places, man, go preach revivals, and they call the choir up, and you got to bow your head and start praying. Oh, the mini skirts and low-cut blouses and men with their shirts unbuttoned down to here, their three little chest hairs are poking out. Done turn white and gray, God help us. Some little old Don Juan, little sodomite looking thing go climbing up in the choir, and you're sitting there thinking, man, why ain't somebody guarding and protecting what God wants His church to be? Amen. You ain't coming in this church shacking up and joining up with us. We'll love you. You can come in. We'll love you. We'll eat with you. Amen. We'll be good to you, but you ain't joining until you quit your shacking. Whoa. Amen. Why? Because it's His church. And we're to guard it and keep it. Man, I don't know what my wife's been feeding me, but the last few services have been rough. Amen. We're still going to stand on the King James Bible. We ain't letting up on the... Why? Because He said, dress it and keep it. Keep it. Guard. Guard what I give you. I don't need no NIV. I don't need no good news for modern man. I don't need the living Bible. I already got one. Already got a Bible alive. Already got good news for the modern man. Can I get a witness? It's in that old time black King James Bible 1611. You say, well, what about the new King James? I don't want anything new. I want the old way. Amen. Stand ye in the way and ask for the old paths wherein is the good way, and walk ye therein. I'm telling you, Brother Joe, in this hour, we better make up our mind as a church. We're going to guard and keep what God has given us. Amen. Hallelujah. I done had groups call me since I've been the pastor here. Bunch of Southern gospel singers don't want no preaching. Bunch of perm hair, amen, fornicating. Can I be honest with you? I got a bad problem with a quartet of men or women, and look at each other all lustfully in the eyes and sing to each other. Old guy pinhead. I just ain't got no use for it. Hey man, I'd rather get the Joneses and let better kids up there. Sing about I love the Lord. He heard my cry, lifted me way up high. I'd rather hear that youth choir get up and say, He never gave up on me. No one else could take the burdens from me. Amen. Thank God I'm free. I'd rather hear the choir sing, I'm glad I'm not going to hell. And sing about going to heaven. And sing the dearest friend I've ever had. Why? Because that's an old way. That's the way that God gave us the church. I'm begging you in this hire. Liberalism on every hand. You say, I've been a member of this church so many years. Good, I'm glad, but I'm begging you to get it in your heart today. We ain't going to back up. We're not going to give in after 53 years. May it be said, if the Lord don't come, amen, by the time this church is 75 years old, amen, and I'm a wore out and ragging and dragging my tracks out, Brother Dean, that we're still standing on the old book and still preaching in the old time way and still shouting and rejoicing and praying and rejoicing in the goodness of God. Listen, I'm just going to guard and protect that old time worship. I know we got to quit, Brother Jerry. Lord, have mercy. I just like that old time shouting and praising God. All this. I ain't got no use for it. What's wrong with just saying, amen? Woo! Hallelujah! I ain't got a sway today. Amen. We're not going that Christian mosh pit, all this. Amen. These churches, these bunch of one name wonder churches. The rock, the river, the palm tree, the oasis. I wouldn't belong to one of them. You listen to me, I wouldn't belong to one of them. If it was the last thing in the world that called itself a church, I wouldn't go. Well, I'm turning hateful, ain't I? Bunch of one-name wonder won't even call themselves a church anymore. You know what? It's a good thing. This crowd taking Baptists off their church sign, it's about time they did. They quit being Baptists a long time ago. Amen. We're not going to rename ourselves Calvary Outreach Center. Oh, no. We're Calvary, and in case you didn't know it, Baptist Tabernacle. Our roots run deep. Run all the way. Hallelujah. Run all the way back to Matthew chapter 3. That old man coming up out of the wilderness. Camel skin coat on. Had locusts. You say, man, you're an odd man. Well, thank you. Amen. That's where my, amen, forefather, old John the Baptist, come out. You think I'm weird. You think I'm loud. You think I'm strong. He come up out of the wilderness. Preach and prepare ye the way of the Lord. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He is eating on locusts. Had an old jar of honey and drinking it in the other. Amen. Honey running down his beard and a screaming like a wild man to repent. That old Pharisee crowd, real dignified. I thank God I'm not like everybody else. Showed up John, they thought, man, what a charismatic fella. They said, hey, John, we want to join your church. John said, y'all can't join my church. I ain't baptizing none of you stinking snakes. That's what he said. I didn't say it. Brother Maurice, he said, you bunch of vipers. You bunch of low-down, lowering snake belly bunch of snakes. I ain't baptizing none of you. Some of y'all done got real ticked off and offended at me. You wouldn't have wanted to go hear John the Baptist. Since the first Baptist preacher ever showed up in God's earth, we've been upset in the apple cart. Rattling them cages. But you know what we're doing? We're trying to keep the spiritual garden of God. Brother A.L., there's a way to keep it. And it ain't my way and it ain't your way. But it's that Bible way. It says keep as much sin out as you can keep. Keep as much God in as you can keep. Amen. I can't wait till we can get down that part, Brother Dean, where God walks through that garden and why. Hallelujah. Keep as much sin and the devil out and as much God as you can in. You just keep what God has given you. Well, I've got one point, Brother Tony, the planting of the garden of God. I might preach some more tonight. I feel so good about it. The garden of God. Would you stand with me? Come on, sister. Lord, thank you for helping me today. Ain't you thankful? Before you move or start to come, we're going to give invitation this morning. Ain't you glad we got a place? There ain't been a whole lot of foolishness around here this morning. We come in about 9:30 and got started, and Brother Tim opened up the Word of God and just taught doctrine. Just taught line upon line, precept upon precept. You know, listen to me now, those of you here for Sunday school, do you understand that there's people in other places called a church? And I'm not trying to be hateful now, I really ain't, Brother Jerry. There's people spend their whole life going to something called a church that'll never hear half the doctrine you heard in one Sunday school. There are people this morning that have already went in and got out of church at 12, whatever, 20. They're already out and they're already sitting down at the Bojangles. And all they got's a little old sermonette with a little poem to make them feel good, but never stirred, never challenged, never changed. You've heard more preaching this morning, and it ain't been much compared to what some men can do, but you've heard more preaching this morning than some people ever hear in their entire life. And it's been that way for 53.5 years. Every member of this church ought to fall down on their face. Say, God, and I don't know who the preachers were before Doc Wells. I understand there's some good men. But can I say this? I know under the ministry of Doc Wells, you had a man of God. You didn't always lack it, and you ain't always going to lack it, what I preach and what I say and how I do. But at least we got a place that God has kept pure and God has kept right. That listen, you can bring your family to. Them little boys and girls can get saved. Your family can be kept together. Every member of this church ought to fall down on this altar and say, Lord, thank you that we have a place to come. If you're here today and you've never been saved, I'm not asking you, are you a member of the church? I'm asking you, have you ever been to Calvary by faith and been saved by the grace of God? Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. I'm a praying this morning, Father, I sure do love you, and I want to thank you today for the church. Thank you for the Word of God and the way that you put it together in our heart. Father, this morning in an hour and a generation where, Lord, there's a lot of things happening in a lot of places. Lord, I know it may seem like we're critical of everything. Lord, you know my heart. Lord, I know there's some people out there that have good intentions. But Father, this morning we desire to strive to be the church that you would have us to be. Lord, we don't want to go some newfangled route. Lord, we do want to reach our generation. And Lord, we want to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But Lord, we also want to stand on the ground that you've given us to stand in. Father, I'm begging you this morning, please, Lord, please, God, help the Calvary Baptist Tabernacle in years to come to always stand and always dress and serve and labor and to keep and guard and protect what you planted at Calvary. Thank you for a place we can come. Lord, I'm not just privileged to be the pastor. Lord, I'm just privileged to be a part of what you've raised up here. Lord, I pray for sinners today under the sound of our voice. Lord, they've never been saved. They've never been born again. I pray that you would speak to their hearts and help them, Lord, in this very hour to humble down and to come to Jesus. Lord, we love you today. Have your will and way. Bless these that have come. Hear their prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. No one's looking around. There's some down here.